The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. I think it is fair enough, actually, to say that every person, from the beginning of their lives to the end, as far as they possibly can, is looking for a way to live meaningfully and to realize their potential one way or another, while being as content and as comfortable as they can be. When we're infants, we haven't got words for the things that we start, we haven't got words for the things around us, but we start to relate to our parents and to others we get to know well from the moment that we are born. We learn to smile. We learn to recognize the sound and the sight and the smell of the people who care for us. We recognize music that we hear played, and it calms us or it makes us happy. We learn our names. And even before birth, an infant in the womb learns to recognize particular sounds, particular music maybe, or the sound of their mother's voice. And as we get older and become a child, an adolescent, and a young adult, and so on, the process continues. As we get older, we more and more deliberately go looking for meaning, seek out a way to live that relates us to the world around us and makes sense for us. The friends who make sense of us, the activities that we're good at and that we enjoy. I think growing up is for human beings all about a search for meaningful living. The infant and their mother or father establish a meaningful relationship. Then words with a new power give us the capacity to search for meaning around us, because when we learn words, we learn the meaning of things and how to think systematically for ourselves and how to ask for things and to say thank you and I love you. So we are always, I think, as human beings, seeking to establish meaningful relationships and meaningful roles for ourselves. There are several different ways people have defined human beings. Some say, oh, the human beings are the linguistic animals, the ones who talk. Some say we are ceremonial animals, but we are certainly also meaningful animals. We look for meaning throughout our lives, from their start, right through their course, and at the end, we hope for a meaningful death, for a good death. Now, some do this in very limited circumstances. Some find the odds massively stacked against them. Some find themselves in desperate and meaningless situations. But I do think that the search for meaning and the desire for meaning, for our lives to mean something, for them to have a purpose, is at the core of human psychology. We want to be for something. As we grow up, we ask ourselves, what are we for? When we have the words for it, we ask, what are we for? Do I want to be a firefighter? Do I want to be a nurse or a doctor? Do I want to be a soldier or a teacher or a mother or a father or a priest? What am I for? What's my meaning? And some lose their way. They end up being for violence or for chaos or for division. And it's a tragedy when that happens. But as Christians, I think we are committed to believing that at the core of their being, those people too really want to be for something else, for something better. And when people like that are able or they are unable to turn around their lives and say, actually, now I'm for peace, or now I'm for justice, or I'm for reconciliation, then they prove that point, that at the core they always wanted that really. Because in church we are told, of course, most simply, you are for loving and for being loved. We know that we believe as Christians that that is the point of human life at its most fundamental level, to love and be loved. And that that is the calling of all people, of every kind, all people. It is really at the most fundamental level what we are for, what human beings are all for. And although this is true, we do, of course, live in a world that demands complex things of us constantly and where we have to live practically as well as lovingly. We have to make a living as well as love. We have to get along with people. We might find it hard to get along with sometimes with all sorts of people. So it's not simple. I know it's not simple, but I think it is true to say the point of human life is to love and to be loved. That is, at the most fundamental level, what we are for. Now, this week's news has brought different examples of people showing what they are for or trying to work it out. Firefighters and others in Australia are demonstrating that they are for the safety and the rescue of others and an end to the terrible blazes there. The appalling tragedy of the Ukrainian jet being shot down was not for anything. But yesterday's admission by the Iranian President Rouhani that it was shot down in error is him saying, I am for the truth here. So, as you probably heard, he called what happened this great tragedy, this appalling, unforgivable tragedy. In this country, there has also been the news this week of the things going on with Prince Harry and his wife Meghan. They are publicly asking, what are we for? They are for their child, of course they are. They are for their safety and for their lives to be as peaceful as possible. And who wouldn't be? We all want our lives to be as peaceful as possible. They are for doing good and benefiting others with the privilege and the wealth they enjoy. That remains clear. But they're also trying to work out what they are for in a new way as the roles of the people around them change. The baptism of Christ is the point in time at which he realizes in a new way what he is for. Jesus is working his purpose out, as we all try to. So he goes to John for baptism with many others. It's part of the process of his working out who he is, what he is for. You heard the answer at the end of the reading from Matthew. He's God's son. But human beings need to work out what they are for. We need to experience things and to try things out, to work out what we're for. Jesus needed to be baptized to realize what he was for. And all four Gospels emphasize this fact that Jesus' ministry begins with his baptism by John. It was, as Jesus said in our reading from Matthew's Gospel, proper for him to do this. Now, Jesus, of course, was always for this. As an infant with shepherds and wise men coming to his cradle, as a child in the temple in the story in Luke's Gospel, and we can imagine with Joseph in his workshop helping him there, he was always for this, but he needed to work it out, like everyone else. Even on the road, teaching later on in the story, he's still working it out. Am I for the house of Israel only, he's asking himself, or am I for everyone? And he realizes, I am for everyone. We are all for different things. We would all give different answers at different stages of our lives as to what we are for. We do not know what we will be for in the future. But what unites us all with our different ways of life and different skills and abilities and different commitments and different responsibilities, what unites us all is the way we try and do the things we do because we are all for living kindly and generously, thoughtfully, forgivingly, humbly, as lovingly as we can. We are all, as Christians, for loving and for being loved. The baptism of Jesus can be seen as the occasion when God identifies Jesus as his son, and as we prayed in those terms in our collect this morning, recognizes Jesus as his son for the benefit of the crowds. But let's think of it this morning as well as an occasion on which Jesus is identified with us. He does the thing that is right for him to do. He shows how he's working his purpose out, how he's working out what he's for, like we all do. He shows in this way that he is one of us. But as one of us, he is also the gift to us. This Christmas time, I've been thinking especially of Jesus as the one who comes from outside what you might call our system or our world, unexpectedly comes in as a gift to transform our world and to transform us. And today we celebrate that he did this simultaneously as one of us. So Jesus comes as one of us in the mutual respectful recognition that he and John give to each other. He comes as one of us to transform our human life from within, helping us to reimagine what we are for. He comes not to instruct us or order us around, but to live out for us the way we should be. And he does come to tell us that whatever we are for, God is for us. Amen.